and took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to another edition of It's Glorious Day.
Yes.
And I'm Pastor David, and guess who's with me?
This is Pastor Barry. I'm back.
He's back. It's been a rough journey.
Yes, it has.
To this point. And I did share with our listeners, brother, you know, a little bit of what was going on.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
But tonight, we're both going to talk about something God seems to have put on our hearts. And I say it that way because, you know, we're still praying through, but it seems that we need to wrap up Glorious Day and end the programs. And so tonight is the first of three programs we're going to be recording tonight.
Right.
And then the last program will air the last Sunday of January. And then unless God has a different plan for us, we're done with this aspect of our ministries. And so we're saying this, you know, we've never heard a lot from our listeners.
No, but we know that they're out
there. We know you're out there.
Yeah.
And so it's time to, you know, say if anyone has something from God that we don't have, you could certainly contact the radio station that we record in. That's WCNO 89.9 Christian FM. And the phone number here is 772-221-1100. Try to remember to give that at another point in the program, but it's just we've talked about it and there are some, we'll admit, some financial issues that have arisen
as they do
and to continue the program. Now it's not the big reason why we're doing this, but it is an aspect, you know, and we could always, if God wants us to continue, he would show us where finances were and maybe raise up people. But the big thing is just, you know, we were saying Barry has gone through a lot. He's in a different place in his life. And, you know, my wife and I are too. It's not a bad place. It's just different.
Well, you know, we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but everything has a season.
Yeah.
And perhaps unless God has another plan, this could be a seasonal thing.
It could be.
Which does not mean that we'll stop proclaiming the gospel wherever we go. And there are some other activities that we can be involved with.
And we're praying about those too.
That's right.
Well, I'll start with, you kind of gave it away. What scripture are we going to read? You might have said, oh, they're probably going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
Oh, because he said season, yes.
And you would be very perceptive. So I'm just going to read Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8.
Thank you, David.
For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And so we believe that it's a time to bring this radio program to a close. And if you'll remember, if you've been following with us since the beginning, the original vision, Barry, was, you know, for us to address the coming revival. And then it came.
And then it came.
And it's still going.
It's interesting because that tells me that this was not our doing, that this was God's plan. And you and I were just two funny old guys on the air following whatever God was giving us to say.
Exactly. And we'll continue that model through these last three programs.
Sure.
But you know, the thing, we've addressed many issues that we believe were important for us to share with the people that do intersect with how the church needs to deal with revival. And some of those things we were hoping individuals would, you know, be caught up in the Spirit and, you know, maybe say, boy, that sounds great. I need to share it with my Christian friends, my pastor, you know, or maybe God would send them out, you know, to do something unique they've not done before. Because this revival is here, it's growing, it's not powerfully evident in every state of the Union. We do believe God was going to start reviving America so that we can live out, you know, the covenant we have with Him. And if you want to know more about that, you can go to type in Robert Hunt, chaplain for the Puritans, 1607,
right,
shores of Cape Henry prayer, because that's where God put it on the hearts of those people who founded America. Even back then, God loves to start early. You may have noticed to have a covenant with us,
sure,
that we would live out throughout our existence, but most especially today. Because when Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on the earth? God has a plan so that, yes, the answer is yes.
Yes. Well, this is all part of God's plan. And I look at it this way, David. I'm seeing revival pop up in some of the most unusual and unpredictable places. Grocery stores. When I'm at work, in my own family, the name Jesus is popping up everywhere. Not where you'd expect it. You know, we hear the word revival and we think of people in the streets all singing together at the same time in front of maybe a church or in the parking lot, maybe numbering the thousands, and that would be great. And But I'm seeing individuals pop up here and there in unexpected places. And the conversation is about Jesus Christ. And I think that's wonderful. And if you think back, David, in the very beginning of all this Christianity stuff, it started one at a time.
It did.
A wandering Christian would walk into a village because maybe he had been kicked out of the previous three villages. And
like Paul.
The Energizer Bunny. And they would meet someone in the marketplace or they'd meet someone outside the synagogue, and the conversation began. And it's funny how it's starting all over again.
Yeah, it is.
And it's very effective, you know, ones and twos and threes like that. I think I told the story before about my revival moment at Sam's Club. And just things like that are popping up, at least in my life. And it just gives me hope.
It does.
That it's a grassroots effort. It's not something that's planned in a stadium with 80,000 people.
Although we see numbers, too, like that.
Well, yeah.
You know, the Asbury Revival.
Sure.
And then that went into other faith-based schools. And then it's now in many secular higher education institutions.
Sure.
God intends to bring those people to first, but every demographic has been impacted.
Sure. And you know what's beautiful is it's even in the business environment. One of our chaplains at work left our company, and we're sad about that, but he had an opportunity. He's with I probably shouldn't say the name of the bank, but it's a national bank. And they bought him on board as a chaplain, and I've never heard of a chaplain in the business environment or the banking business, but somewhere in that big ivory tower that runs the show with that bank pulled the trigger on that they've now got a pastor, preacher, minister in their midst.
Wow.
And he's a troubleshooter. He's taking care of business, yes. He's a black gentleman who is kind of I would call him my safety patrol out there to make sure that businesses are loaning people of color with the same business practices as they would with a white person, a Caucasian person.
Right.
That's what drew him in. But now he's traveling around the country speaking to all these bank managers and anybody who will listen about Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And I never thought in my lifetime I'd see someone in the business world, the business environment, being hired to do that.
That's powerful. It's also, I think, revelatory about the work that God is doing today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, there's been prophecy that has touched on that sort of thing, is you're going to see new things,
mm-hmm.
or new to us.
Right.
New to us. And how important it is to see revival at every strata of society.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say in America, and people say, well, why not in Lithuania, or, you know, why not in Cuba, which of course actually is, you don't get it in the liberal press, but if you look online, some of the Christian media,
mm-hmm.
They're talking about, like, well, CBN is the most prominent one.
Sure.
And this morning, or not this morning, yesterday, I was reading a couple articles about revival happening in different places, you know, in churches. Suddenly, you know, the Spirit of God moving, maybe where they hadn't seen that.
Sure.
And where there's thousands of people wanting to be baptized, coming to Christ, not wanting to leave church. They want to stay and praise God and worship.
Mm.
And this, yeah, it's not something that one day it will be of a magnitude that if liberal press doesn't report it, people are going to start wondering, what's going on with you? Which, of course, we've been wondering even now.
Well,
and we kind of know.
That's right. Over the last 2.5 years, that's come up many times. And
yeah.
They may be forced into talking about Jesus because yeah. their ratings will drop through the basement.
I just got to tell you, I just think they'll put a spin on it that's not positive. But it's okay, because God doesn't need them
mm-hmm.
to support what he's doing, even to report it, because the day is coming. Now, you can write this down. The day is coming. I don't know when. It may be in 2024 sometime. It may be in years in the future, past 2024. But it's going to be so obvious that God is restoring America so that he can use us to fulfill the covenant we made with him in 1607 to bring the gospel to the world.
Amen.
And we've done it before, but not on this magnitude.
When was the last time you suppose that our public school system offered any information about what happened when the Pilgrims or the Puritans got here, and that beautiful prayer over America? How many generations have gone by without that being discussed in school? Because I have a vague memory when I was a little kid in the 1950s.
Yeah.
Of learning about that, but you don't hear about it anymore.
Well, you don't have in school anymore civics class, at least in public school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe a few have held out, and then they're wanting to teach kids about our American history,
mm-hmm.
about the Constitution and the founding of America, that was really God was behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could say quite simply, well, God intended, but before he made the whole universe, and we, you know, before we read about what God did in Genesis, he conceived in his perfect mind what he would do with every nation that arose, and also some that would fall.
Mm-hmm.
But America, God was in it. You can see it in our founding documents and the founding fathers, what they said about God being in government, and that it's just a powerful thing to know when God starts something, he will not let it die.
Mm-hmm.
He will not. He's very jealous for his people
mm-hmm.
and for his plans. And so I know some people are, I share this. This is one of my soapboxes. And if you've listened to any of these programs, you heard me say it several times. But that America is going to be saved. This is part of the revival because we are repenting. We need to repent more of the things that we have turned. The church in the last 50 years has turned our back on the culture. We've let abortion get legalized, and now God took it away. Praise God for mm-hmm. that. He did that. You know, the church had spoken against it, but there weren't huge numbers. All this other, this gender stuff, gender fluidity, and all the trans this and trans that, and the as much as God loves those people going through that, he doesn't love the decisions they've made. He loves gay people, but he doesn't love the lifestyle. Get it in your heads.
Amen. You know, I was sitting here thinking an excellent book that you suggested I read, Jonathan Cahn's Return of the Gods.
Yes.
Explains a lot of what happened to the world, and in particular America, yep. I'd say in the last 80 to 100 years with all of this. And there are evil beings behind all this.
Yes.
And for those who do not know Jesus Christ and do not know God the Father or the Holy Spirit or any of it, their prime target to go opposite of revival,
yeah,
and follow the evil one. So that has to be overcome. And like you just said, you know, God is an overcomer. He will find a way to shut all that down.
Well, his way is always perfect, and mm-hmm. he has a plan. Here's the deal. And people have said, well, why should I get involved in government? Why should I say anything about what's going on? As horrible as it is,
mm-hmm.
because God's going to do whatever he wants anyway.
Right.
Now, if you're saying that, either you have forgotten the scriptures that you read, or you never did read the Word of God much,
mm-hmm.
because all throughout that, we see God wanting to be in the government. He's in the government of Israel.
Sure.
You know, and then they wanted a king, and so he let him have Saul. Well, that didn't work out too well.
Yeah, that should have told them right then and there, okay, you're right, we're wrong.
You're right. But he allowed it. And
he allowed it.
He allowed other kings.
Well, then David came along. And
yeah, David was a good, faithful king, but he was a human being too. He was a sinner. He had to repent. So, how should we live our lives? Well, read about David because, yes, he loved God. He was faithful. He did sin. God caught him up on that. He had to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And his sin was pretty grievous. You know, even in the child that he had with Bathsheba had to die. He died, but they had other children. But mm-hmm. the point is, you know, he had to repent. But, you know, the thing is that we've got to, as a church, now maybe you're listening and saying, I'm already doing this. Well, praise God.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That you're already being faithful. You're already trusting God. We're going to talk more about this in the next program.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yes, God will get his way, but he also wants his children, his people who are following him, to agree with him in prayer,
mm-hmm.
and listen to him and what he wants us to pray for.
Sure.
What he wants us to get active in doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yes, you can't just sit in your tidy little prayer closet with the lights off, close your eyes and say, I'm not going to do anything because God's going to do it all. Well, he will do it. But you know what? There are times when God's people did not listen to him saying, I want you to pray for this and that and the other, and time went on.
Well, I often thought if David came back at the time of Christ, he'd look around and said, oh, wow, they did it again.
Yeah.
You know, looking at the Roman soldiers with their swords on people's necks and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, you know, Israel had their own revivals over and over and over again.
They did.
Yeah.
And I think that what we're doing for God is going to factor into that eventual time down the road.
Sure.
When God saves Israel. And I have to say at this point, because I do believe that we have to pray, and I pray all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, a special time of prayer for the work of God in America and in the world. And what God's had me doing is I have maps. I have a book of what I call prayer maps. I told you about this.
Yeah.
I have a map of Washington, D.C. When I pray for our government, lay my hands on that, pray for those in leadership,
mm-hmm.
not just in federal government, but in every state, county, and local. And I have a map of Florida because I'm praying for revival as it will begin here in Florida. I have a map of Israel.
Okay.
I lay my hands on that map and, of course, praying for them to be delivered from the war that they're currently in.
Sure.
As God's plan, not man's plan. And I also have a map for Ukraine, and I pray for their needs. God has put it on my heart. But he wants all of his children to be willing to pray for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if that sounds familiar, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and that's one of the elements in prayer. So if you are not doing this, at least ask God, this Frank Coeur guy, this Pastor David guy, is he talking through his hat? Or does he actually is he actually saying something I need to know?
Here's a gutsy prayer, David.
What?
Pray, Lord, make me part of the change that I'm praying for.
Amen. Amen.
We used an expression over the last 2.5 years. I hope I didn't offend anybody, because maybe some people can't stand up, but pew sitters.
Yeah.
That their take on all this is, well, I show up every Sunday, but, you know, that David and that Barry, let them handle it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're trained to do. They'll handle it. And that's not the way it works, folks. In my nursing home, where I'm a chaplain, I let them know that, guess what? When I go home, they are the pastor.
Yes.
When I go home, they're the minister. They're the ones who are bringing Christ into every situation in their little neighborhood. That's what we call it, a neighborhood. And I have been blessed over the years to witness this, where I've walked in and I've seen the elderly evangelizing to other elderly residents. Because they finally realize, yeah, maybe he's right. I can talk, I can move, I can read, so why not? I may be 89 years old, but as they put it, I ain't dead yet. And
right.
I love these people, and I tell them, if you're saying that with not just your mouth but your heart, that you truly love your fellow man, you don't want anybody to go to the lake of fire.
No.
You don't want to depend on someone else in any situation to take over. You're there.
Yeah, exactly.
And my friends out there, you may say right now, well, I'm not equipped, and I don't know what to say, and revival just sounds like the big white tent set up, you know, with the hot lights and the preachers, and I can't be part of that. Well, you don't need all that stuff. You just need to ask God to equip you with whatever message he is going to give these folks. Not your message, not mine, not David's. It's God's message.
It is.
It's his holy work. It's not our holy work.
Right.
It's his holy work. You know, and when you do step out in faith and you get over yourself as far as your self-doubting, you'll be amazed how God will use you. You may be the one who begins revival in your condominium, yeah, in your neighborhood, exactly, on your street.
Yeah.
Sure. Get out there and do it.
You're a believer. You've received Jesus as Lord and Savior. You've repented,
mm-hmm,
of your sin. He's got you into a new life.
Right.
And the primary work of all who believe is to share the gospel with those who do not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens in revival, and it's led by the Holy Spirit. So,
yes.
Yeah, you may actually, and besides which, let me just give you a piece of advice. Don't tell God what you're willing to do, okay? Because first of all, he's got a plan for you. You can't negotiate out of it.
Mm-hmm.
All you can do is faithfully listen and do what he says. So instead of saying, hey, God, I don't want to do this, but I'll do that, say, God, what do you want me to do?
That's a bold prayer.
It's a bold prayer, because you're going to trust him, and he will give you what you need to do that.
You're opening up that door and saying, okay, your will, not mine. Your, yep, words, not mine. Equip me. And I'm here to serve you in whatever fashion you see fit.
Send me out.
Yeah.
You know, and gosh, God forbid that anybody would close off if God's not going to make them happy.
Mm.
Hey, guess what, folks? What does the Bible say? It ain't about you. It's about God.
Is that what it says?
Yeah, well, that's my
little paraphrase.
Paraphrase, but it is that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
So let it be about God. You will be amazed. You'll be blessed.
You'll be regenerated.
Regenerated.
You'll be revived yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Barry, isn't that what we've discovered in,
yes,
serving the Lord over, mm-hmm, these many, many decades? And we're not lifting ourselves up and saying how wonderful we are.
No.
Everything we've done that's been a success has been because God was in it, He gave us what we needed. He told us what to do, mm-hmm. where to go, and that it was his grace. So to him, he gets the glory.
Right.
You know, and we're just excited to be a part of it.
Sure.
Absolutely excited to be a part of it. Well, we got about 2 minutes and 14 seconds.
I want to share something.
So share something.
For those of you who got the news through David that my beautiful wife has passed away, we had 2 weeks at hospice that I can only describe in my human form as a very rough 2 weeks. But God was present during the entire time. And I think my dear wife would have been happy with the fact that not only was she prayed over, but the other people that were in that building going through the same thing were prayed over.
Amen.
And it's not easy when you're in the dark valley to stand up and proclaim Christ. But I think it's most important to push through your grief and sorrow and do that. It's not always easy. It's not always in season. You could be preaching the gospel out of season. And that's kind of the way I described any Christ that I shared in those 2 weeks. It was definitely out of season. But it was giving me a reinforcement, if you will, or a recharge. The fact that I was discussing Christ with the nursing staff, that I was able to go down the hall and pray with someone else going through the same thing. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, that David and his wife were there with me the whole time. And I had a lot of support from a lot of fellow Christians. And there was a small spirit of revival in that building. Mm. And I think that was purposeful by God.
Yes.
Not just for me, but for everyone going through what they're about to lose.
Yeah.
Sharing with what we're all going to gain because of what Jesus did on the cross. That was my soapbox, David.
I'm
off the soapbox now.
Well, our time is almost up, but I'm glad you shared that, and it's true. And it points out again that death is not just death. Death for Christians, and we know Nancy's with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
but death leads to new life. And the dying that we all are going to do here on earth as our spirit leaves our bodies, whatever that may be,
mm-hmm.
you know, for us, if you believe, if you have Jesus in your heart, then he can't wait to get you into his kingdom,
mm-hmm.
you know, and fully, we're in it now, but fully. And so that was that bittersweet experience of serving Christ,
right,
while grieving.
Yeah.
And that alone would be a great program if God pulls us out of the out from retirement. But anyway, we have to go. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
God bless you all.
And our theme next week is going to be God is faithful.
Amen to that,
brother.
Trust
him.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
I was blinded, you gave me eyes to see. I was going under, you reached out to me.